Welcome to The Living System. I'm Chris Meredith, and today we're exploring how leadership, strategy, and organizational health work together to build sustainable success. You're watching Now Media Television. Welcome to The Living System. My name is Chris Meredith, and I am the founder and CEO of MCS, Meredith Consulting Service. MCS works with C-suite executives and senior leadership teams to strengthen leadership strategy by applying systems thinking to real organizational and individual leadership challenges. Our mission is to empower organizations, leaders, and teams through innovative, personalized strategies in strategic development and leadership coaching, delivering lasting impact, measurable outcomes, and values-driven transformation. But before I talk more about the work, I want to begin with who I am and why this show exists. I'm originally from Louisiana, from a very small, low-income town. While my parents certainly had an influence on my life in various ways, it was my grandfather who taught me about business. He was a blind man, but he was also a determined man. He was determined to make his own way without depending on anyone, including the government. He built his own business from the ground up and ran it until the day he died in his 80s. He taught me that if I wanted something, I needed to work for it, so I did. As a young man, I sold grit newspapers, I shined shoes at the local barber shop, I set up bowling pins at the local two-lane bowling alley that we had in town. It actually cost a quarter to bowl, and they paid the pin setters 15 cents a person. I sold brownies to the old guys like me now, playing dominoes in the back room. I didn't know it then, but I was learning something about work, people, responsibility, and patterns. I was learning that every room has a system, every business has a rhythm, every group of people has a way it behaves. Every environment teaches you something if you're paying attention. But what was not important to me at the time was education. When I was 19 years old, I signed up for the military. During that process, I discovered that I had a sixth grade reading comprehension level. The military sent me to reading school, and my wife helped me to learn to read using the Bible. It was supposed to be a six-month school, but I graduated in 6 weeks. And since then, I've never stopped trying to expand my capacity to learn. 10 months into the military, I was assigned to the training section, and for the rest of my military career, I had the privilege of serving in special duty assignments. That is where I began to learn leadership. I will always be grateful for what I learned in the military, and I will always be grateful for what I did not learn in the military, because both actually shaped me. The military taught me discipline, structure, responsibility, standards, and execution. But over time, I learned that leadership is not only about command and control. It's not only about giving direction. Leadership is about presence, influence, discernment, trust, development, wisdom, and understanding the system that you're leading. From that time forward, my career path has shaped the leader that I am today. For over four decades, I've had the privilege of leading, serving, coaching, advising, and walking with people and organizations through real seasons of growth, pressure, transition, uncertainty, and change. I've worked from the front lines to senior leadership, and I want to be clear. A lot of the things I've learned in leadership over the years has honestly been through the mistakes that I've made, through the things that I really didn't know or understand. But I've had the privilege of actually having great mentors in my life that have also imparted to me great things of knowledge and wisdom and helped me begin to shape who I am today. I've had the privilege of working and setting with senior executives, business owners, leadership teams, nonprofit leaders, for-profit leaders, and individual leaders who are trying to build something that matters and lasts. And here is what I've learned. Most leaders are not struggling because they do not care. Most leaders are not struggling because they do not have enough information. In fact, most leaders today have more information than they can process. They have reports, they have dashboards. There's lots of meetings, strategic plans, technology, consultants, data, goals, budgets, and processes. But even with all of that, many still feel stuck. They're busy, but not always moving. They're active, but not always aligned. They're communicating, but not always connecting. They're solving problems in the moment, only to see those same problems rise again. And when that happens, the issue is often deeper than effort. It's deeper than intention. It's deeper than another meeting, another report or tool or another initiative. The issue is often the system. That is why the show exists. The Living System is built around one core belief. Organizations are not machines. They are living systems. They are not a collection of isolated functions. They are not merely departments, silos, titles, policies, or reporting lines. They are living, interconnected systems made up of people, decisions, culture, trust, communication, strategy, pressure. I call those pressures tensions, habits, leadership behaviors, and repeated patterns. And whether leaders see those things or not, they're always working somewhere beneath the scene. This show exists to help the leaders see what is really happening beneath the surface. Not just what happened, but why it keeps happening. Not just who made the mistake, but what conditions made the mistake more likely. Not just how to fix the immediate issue, but what patterns need to change so the issue does not keep returning. The Living System is for leaders, executives, business owners, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, sponsors, and people who believe organizations can be healthier, clearer, stronger, and more sustainable. It is for those who want to see deeper, lead clearer, build stronger, and build what lasts. This is who I am, and this is why this show exists. And that is the conversation that we're going to have. I did it now. We'll be right back with more insight into leadership, organizational alignment, and building systems designed to last. So stay with us. You won't want to miss this. And we're back. I'm Chris Meredith, and this is The Living System on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation. So what is a living system? When I use the phrase living system, I want to be clear. I'm not trying to make leadership more complicated. Actually, I'm trying to help leaders see the complexity that is already there. There are two types of systems that I often think about. In fact, the first system is the system that most people think about. It's the structured system. Most leaders feel that if they have a structured system in place, that everything is going to be okay. I coach leadership teams who are just learning a structured system, but also coach them on how to empower that system and fuel that system. A structured system by itself is the framework. It's designed to harmonize all the moving parts of a company into a single predictable mechanism. It includes the organizational chart, the policies, the procedures, the reporting lines, the roles, the departments, the rules, the measurements, the processes, the meetings, and hopefully the strategic plan. In fact, I have coached companies that have made their way into pretty large companies that really didn't even have a clear strategic plan. Sometimes leaders have a plan, they understand it as leaders, but it's not always communicated through the system. The structure system matters. I am a firm believer that every organization needs structure. But structure alone does not make an organization healthy. A structured system, in my way of thinking, is like the body of a car. You have to have the car, or the engine, or the driver, or the gas, or anything else is not going to fuel it. It's not going to work. You've got to have the body. A lot of companies are working hard to put structured systems in place, but the structured system itself is actually not the answer. Again, you have to have it, but it's not the driver, not the engine. The engine itself is the living system. The living system is actually what is happening inside the organization every day. A lot of leaders are not seeing those patterns. They're not seeing the depth of what's taking place in the organization itself. And because of that, a lot of things are happening that they don't know that's happening. In fact, I speak with many leaders who think everything's fine because they have a plan, they've talked about it, they've given speeches, but they're not really seeing what is happening inside the organization every day. What's really happening is how decisions are really getting made. It's how people communicate when pressure rises. It's how leaders respond when things go wrong. And I'm emphasizing the word respond because so many times when leaders are not really leading the living system or really understanding how the living system works, they react. But response is a little bit different. But leaders respond the way they see things or the way they understand things. It's how trust is built or how trust is weakened. It's how conflict is handled or avoided. It's what gets rewarded. It's what gets tolerated. It's what people say in the meeting, and then after the meeting, what they say. I've so many times seen leaders, to include myself, sit in a meeting and say a lot. In fact, some of the biggest mistakes that I've made in my leadership career is giving a lot of speeches and not really listening, not really seeing, not really creating an environment where people could really say things back to me. They could really communicate with me. They could really give me feedback loops. In fact, what I did learn in the military about command and control was great as far as the knowledge of it, but it actually was not what I understand today when it comes to the living system. It's what people say after the meeting quite often that really determines how their perspective is and what they actually learned and what they actually gained. And that's what I call the water cooler conversations. It's actually how culture behaves when no one is watching. You know, culture is supposed to set the tone for what is normal in a company. And so many times what we think is normal in a company is not necessarily what is actually normal within that company. A system is what keeps happening. It's the way I believe organizations are not, why I believe they're not collections of isolated functions. They're not silos or linear machines. They're living, interconnected systems. When leaders understand how strategy, culture, decision-making, communication, accountability, leadership behaviors interact, clarity increases over and performance stabilizes over time. In fact, it may be a little bit hard in the beginning to organize a living system, but once you do, it stabilizes and it begins to perform over time. Our work at MCS helps executives see the whole system, not just the individual parts. Because when leaders see the whole system, they can make informed decisions. They can create healthier organizational flow. They can build more sustainable outcomes. They can begin leading with both immediate results and long-term vitality in mind. In fact, later I'll talk about legacy a little bit, but legacy to me is not having my name on a building. Legacy to me is the generational transfer of the things that we're trying to accomplish, and it creates long-term success. Living systems are made up of core components. In fact, understanding the components is so important to understanding the success of the system itself. It's made up of the most important thing in the system, and that is people. It's made up of processes. It's made up of communication. Once I was actually speaking to a group of senior executives, and I created this one simple slide, and it was a leader looking one way, and it was a follower looking the other way. And the leader was saying, "Can you see what I see?" And the follower was saying, "I see exactly what you see." And actually, they were looking the other way. Communication is not just speeches, as I spoke about earlier, but communication is actually a clarity. It's actually an empowerment. It's actually helping people understand everything that they need to understand to function properly. Living system is about resources. It has policies and rules, has accountability mechanisms. It's about culture and it's about values. External environments also are a part of the living system because there are things on a daily basis that affect the day-to-day goings-on of a company and inner workings of a company. It's about feedback structures. All of these matter, but culture and values are just one item on a list. In fact, What I do quite often when I go to work for a company as a consultant, I actually ask that company up front about their whys, why they do what they do. Tell me about the culture. Tell me about the values, because they are not just one item on a list. In many ways, they sit really at the center. Culture tells people what is normal, as I mentioned earlier. But values tell people really what matters in the company. And quite often there's a disconnect between what gets rewarded in a company and what actually we say that we believe. And so that's why these things are so important. And together, culture and values shape how the rest of the system behaves. Processes matter, but culture determines how people use them. Policies matter, but values actually determine how people interrupt them. Communication matters a lot, but trust determines how honest that communication becomes, and that is so important. Accountability matters, but culture determines whether accountability is seen as ownership or punishment. Resources matter, but leaders determine whether those resources are used with clarity and discipline. External environments matter. They're going to happen. But because no organization operates in a vacuum, for instance, markets change, customers change, technology changes, regulations change, labor markets change, community expectations change, and leaders have to understand not only what is happening inside the organization, but what is pressing against it from the outside. Feedback structures are very important because living systems learn through feedback, feedback of patterns, feedback of the individuals within the organization. If feedback is honest and timely and trusted, the system can make the adjustments it needs to adjust. But if feedback is hidden and delayed, if it's punished or ignored, the system is going to drift, and that's not a people problem. That is a leadership issue. This is where systems thinking becomes so important. Many leaders are trained to see events, how a number dropped or a project stalled or how communication is broken down, how a key person left or why they left. A team becomes frustrated. The strategy did not gain traction. Those things are extremely real, but they are often not isolated events. They're actually signals. They're feedback. They are symptoms. They are evidence that something deeper may be happening. I hear a lot of leaders talk about cause and effect, but cause and effect is a lot deeper. It's not just the cause. It's quite often the patterns that lead up to the cause, and it's actually the roots, not just the root, but the roots that feed it. If a leader only reacts to the event, they may solve the immediate problem. But if the pattern remains, the issue will return. It may have a different name, a different department, it may have different people, but the same underlying pattern will keep showing up. Good leaders solve problems, but deeper leaders learn to see patterns. And the strongest leaders understand that people, strategy, culture, communication, accountability, and leadership behaviors can all be separated and need to be fully understood. We'll be right back with more insight into leadership, organizational alignment, and building systems designed to last. So stay with us. You won't want to miss this. And we're back. I'm Chris Meredith, and this is The Living System on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation. Welcome back to The Living System. My name is Chris Meredith, and I'm your host. We're speaking about what exists within the living system. We've talked about a structured system, which is very important. I'm a huge believer in a structured system. And then we moved into the living system, the actual engine that fuels the body of the car. I look at a structured system as a body of a car, but the engine is what actually gives it its energy. So the conditions of a living system are not sustained by structure alone. Structure, again, is extremely important, but it's actually sustained by the conditions that shape how people think, relate, decide, communicate, and act within it. These conditions are often invisible, but they determine whether a system becomes healthy, stagnant, or destructive. Structure defines what a system is, and again, extremely important. Conditions define how a system lives. Conditions drive behavior. Behavior drives outcomes. And that is why leaders must learn to see the conditions that actually exist inside the system. A living system has key conditions to it. It has trust. It has tolerance, psychological safety, patterns, relationships, flows, permissions, and unspoken agreements. These conditions may not always show up directly on a balance sheet, but they shape the balance sheet over time. Trust is one of the first conditions. In fact, it's the foundation to me, because without trust, communication becomes guarded. People may speak, but they may not say what really needs to be said. They may attend the meetings, but the real conversation happens somewhere else, whether it's at their cubicles, whether it's in their offices, whether it is at the water cooler, whether it is in the afternoon when they're going out together. The real conversations actually happen somewhere else. I don't know about you, but as a leader, and I'm sure you do as well, I want to make sure that the conversation that is happening somewhere else is the conversation that was actually happening in the meetings. They may agree publicly, but privately they actually resist, which means that they're showing that they agree, but they're not really in line. They may comply by going through the motions, but there's no real commitment to it. Trust determines how much truth actually the system can carry. If the truth cannot move through the system, leaders make decisions with partial reality. Partial reality creates fragile strategy. Tolerance is another condition that goes along with the living system. Every system tolerates something. It tolerates certain behaviors, habits, delays, attitudes, gaps between what is said and what is actually done. Tolerance can be very healthy if it's a part of the system itself. If it's a part of what should be a part of the system, maybe is a better way to say that. When it gives people room to learn, when it gives people room to grow and be human. But tolerance actually can be dangerous as well. When it protects dysfunction, when a leader tolerates the system, what a leader tolerates in the system actually brings normalization to the system, and that becomes your culture, actually. People eventually stop questioning, and they stop really becoming a part of having that honesty that they need to actually have. Psychological safety is another condition that's so, so important. This doesn't mean that people are protected from challenges. We all face challenges. Every person is going to face a challenge. Every leader, I face them daily. I'm sure you do as well. It does not mean that standards are lowered. It certainly doesn't mean accountability goes away. It means that people can tell the truth, ask questions, raise concerns, admit mistakes, and challenge assumptions without fear of being punished, embarrassed, or even dismissed. Healthy systems need honest visibility. Leaders cannot correct what people are afraid to reveal. Teams cannot learn from mistakes they are forced to hide. Organizations cannot grow if truth has to travel somewhere underground. Patterns are another condition that exists within conditions. I write a lot about patterns because patterns actually, if I can read the patterns right, I can understand to go deeper and what roots I need to be looking at that are creating the patterns, because the patterns themselves is what's going to be lasting within the system. Some patterns are healthy, as I've mentioned, and some can create strength and consistency and confidence, but they can also create confusion. They can create dependency, frustration, avoidance, or drift. When leaders learn to study patterns, they stop being surprised by repeating outcomes. In fact, because leaders quite often looks at the system or looks at their people or looks through the organization and sees the surface things, the symptoms, and they correct those symptoms, the next thing you know, it happens again and then again and then again. And because of that, that means that there are patterns and roots to those patterns that once a leader understands that, they really stop being surprised by repeated outcomes. In fact, they begin to shape the outcomes. They begin to see what's beneath the event. Relationships are another condition. Organizations are not only built on structure, they are built on relationships. Relationships can affect a lot of things. Speed, trust, communication, influence, how decisions are received, and how change is carried. If relationships in an organization are weak, the system may become slow, guarded, political, or fragmented. If relationships are healthy, the system can move with more honesty, speed, and resilience. Flows are another condition. Every organization has flows. Information flows, decisions, resources, authority, energy through the organization, influence, and accountability. When flows are healthy, the right things move to the right people at the right time. When flows are blocked or they're bottlenecked, delayed, or distorted, frustration begins to grow. People wait, they stall, information gets trapped, accountability becomes unclear, and the organization loses movement. Permissions are another condition. Every system gives permissions, either directly or indirectly. Some systems give people permission to speak the truth, some permission to stay silent. Some give people permissions to take ownership, and some give permissions to avoid responsibility. Some give people permission to innovate, and some to protect the past. Some permissions are spoken, but many are actually not. When people learn what is allowed by watching leaders reward, tolerate, ignore, and model, they begin to understand what the culture, what their rights, what their ownership is allowed to do. So it's so important. Unspoken agreements are certainly another condition that's a part of that. These are quiet agreements that people live by, even if no one writes them down. We do not challenge that person as an example. We do not bring bad news too early. We do not ask that question. In other words, we're walking on pins and needles. We do not cross that department line. We do not talk about the real issues. We do not admit that we are confused. In fact, when we don't admit these things, and we're going by these types of unspoken agreements, we're going to see the system fluctuate. We're going to see disconnect within the system. Unspoken agreements can become some of the most powerful forces in the system, because what is unspoken often remains unchallenged and unchanged. This is why leaders must learn to read the conditions of the system. They must ask, where is the trust strong? Where is it thin? What are we tolerating? What truths are not traveling? What patterns keep repeating? What relationships need attention? Where we are in the flows, how are they blocked? Why are they blocked? What permissions are we given without realizing it? What unspoken agreements are shaping behaviors? These are not soft questions. They are actually performance questions, culture questions, strategy questions, leadership questions, because the health of the system affects the strength of the organization. That is why systems thinking matters. It helps leaders see beneath the surface, not to complicate the work, but to make the work more honest and aligned and disciplined and actually more human and more sustainable. When leaders understand the conditions of the system, they can begin to shape those conditions intentionally. They can build trust. They can clarify what will and will not be tolerated. They can create room for truth and identify patterns, strengthen relationships, improve flows, reset permissions. They can challenge unspoken agreements. And when those conditions begin to change, the system begins to change. That is where lasting transformation begins. We'll be right back. We're going to commercial, and we look forward to seeing you in our next segment. We'll be right back with more insight into leadership, organizational alignment, and building systems designed to last. So stay with us. You won't want to miss this. And we're back. I'm Chris Meredith, and this is The Living System on Now Media Television. Let's continue the conversation. Welcome back to The Living System. We appreciate your time with us today, and I hope in these short segments I've been able to identify what MCS is about and why we do what we do and what this show, The Living System, is really about. And all the guests and the people that we'll have on this show over time will be contributors actually to exactly what we're talking about today. We'll look at systems thinking from various angles, from legal to health to financial to leadership and et cetera, et cetera. We'll continue to build on the subject of systems thinking. But I hope you'll go back and take a lot of the thoughts that I've given today and actually study them out, look at them, research them. And if you need to contact me and need more information, you certainly can do that. You can reach me at thinkmcs360.com. Today, in this last segment, I want to talk about what I think is one of the most important things for leaders to know and to understand and to hold responsible. We quite often think of the responsibility that we have as just doing our job, just making sure we get to the bottom line, making sure that we get the outcomes. We quite often don't really think about legacy. And when I speak of legacy, I'm not speaking of getting our name on a building. I'm speaking specifically of generational transfer and the continued relationships and the continued processes and the continued success of an organization. I once left an organization, and I've mentioned this before, but one of the board members called me after I left, and he said, Chris, you should have stayed. He said, it got better after you left. That's when I told him that I actually did my job, and now I'm glad to know that. Systems thinking, I want us to think about it kind of as guardianship. It's a term that I like to use. We're not dictators. We're not lords. That's why I'm really not a fan of command and control only leadership. Doesn't mean leaders are not in charge. But it does mean if we're in command and control only, we quite often ourselves bottleneck the system. So I want to use systems thinking as the thought of guardianship for us as leaders. Systems thinking at its highest level is not simply about control, optimization, or mechanics. It's actually a form of guardianship. It's the intentional stewardship of the forces that shape people, ideas, influence, and legacy over time. The systems thinker does not merely manage parts. The systems thinker protects the conditions under which the system remains healthy, generative, and enduring. A leader leading the living system does not merely manage those parts. A leader protects the conditions under which the system remains healthy and enduring. This is a different way of thinking. It's a different perspective about leadership. And it's a different way of thinking about responsibility. As leaders, we're guardians of ideas and shape how they shape the future of an organization, how they shape what gets pursued and protected and actually funded and repeated. But not every idea should be chased. Not every trend should be followed. Not every opportunity fits the purpose. Leaders must practice adaptive type thinking as the system itself moves. They must understand the foundational narratives. They must discern signals and protect intellectual coherence. They must listen to feedback, and I mean really listen and pay attention to it. Guardianship of ideas means that leaders helps the organization think clearly about what matters, what fits, what should be challenged, and what should endure. As leaders, we're also guardians of human development because people are a main part of, and actually, in my opinion, the main part of the system itself. We're developing people either intentionally or unintentionally. Every organization is forming people. The question is whether is it forming them towards ownership, judgment, confidence, wisdom, and capacity, or toward dependency, fear, silence, and survival. Human development includes learning. Learning is so key. Psychological safety, identity and sustainability, coaching and feedback, and capacity development. A healthy system does not simply extract effort from people. It develops people. It challenges people. It supports them and gives them room to grow. It helps them become stronger, clearer, and more capable. The greatest investment we can ever make is in our people. As leaders, we're guardians also of influence. Influence is how energy and direction move through the system. Every leader has influence. The question is whether that influence is shaping the system constructively or destructively. Influence can clarify or confuse. It can build trust or it can weaken trust. It can create courage or fear. It can invite ownership or dependency. As guardians of influence, leaders must pay attention to leadership gravity. They must pay attention to patterns that they are shaping. And I want to speak to gravity for just a moment because you're drawing people one way or another. We're drawing people one way or another. We're pulling people one way or another. And so as we pay attention to the gravity that we bring and empower people through that gravity, we'll see the system functioning healthy. We must pay attention to the pattern shaping, pay attention to the relational flow, to the invisible infrastructure, to the narrative and the story that we're creating, because the stories that people often carry shape the way they interpret reality, and the way they interpret reality will shape the way they act. As leaders, we're also guardians of legacy. Legacy is what actually remains after the current leader and current decisions are gone. Legacy is not about only built for later. It's also about now. It's about decisions. It's built in people, in culture, in standards, in ownership, in the way truth is handled. It is built in the way leaders develop other leaders. It's built in the way the organization learns to carry purpose beyond one personality, one season, or one generation. Guardianship of legacy includes purpose and continuity, culture memory, institutional integrity. I love it when I'm in a company and I hear the stories of not only how the culture functions today, but how the memory of the previous cultures and the foundational cultures actually shape the way things are today. And for those of us who have been in business and been around for some time, it's important that we help continue that culture memory that exists. Guardianship of over-ownership and strategic foresight and generational transfer. That is why systems thinking matters. It helps leaders apply wisdom to the whole. And when we learn to lead the living system, we begin to understand that systems thinking applies not only to businesses, but also to life itself. I actually had a leader recently who I had worked with and who was actually leading a board for another company as a consultant. And after having conversations about the systems and our guardianship, he sent me an email after, and he said, I couldn't quit thinking all the way through the presentation about systems thinking and how all of these things was applying and working and how they needed to continue to work within that board and how it just affects us as individuals. I'll give you a really good example, the human body. The body has a lot of parts, but those parts are connected. And sometimes you feel pain in one area, but the cause may be somewhere else. Something beneath the surface may actually be creating what you feel on the surface. That is simply how systems thinking works. Organizations work the same way. A visible issue may be showing up in one department, but the root actually may be somewhere else. A performance issue may look like a people issue, but the cause may be simply unclear direction. I was actually with a leader recently, and he was sharing with me of a people problem that he thought he was having. And I stopped and I asked him, I said, is this really a people problem or is it a system problem? And more importantly, is it a leadership problem? And as we begin to work through that process, the determination came that it was actually a leadership issue. A communication issue may look like a personality issue, but the cause may simply be low trust. A strategy issue may look like an execution issue, but the cause may be culture misalignment. That is why leaders must learn to look beneath the surface. What patterns are repeating, what roots sit below the patterns, what feedback the system is giving, how we're shaping the system as leaders, what presence are we bringing? What gravity are we creating? What conditions are we actually protecting? What are we rewarding that we say that we don't really stand for? What legacy are we actually building? When leaders learn to see this way, they begin to see longer lasting results. Systems thinking and leading the living system helps leaders apply wisdom to the whole, communicate clearly, bring alignment, not just agreement. It helps leaders see themselves, their companies, and their teams with greater honesty. It helps organizations function and flow as they should. This is the work of MCS, and this is the message of the living system, and this is why the platform matters, because some people see things this way, show things this way, and decide to think differently. Some may follow the conversation. Some may bring ideas into their own companies. Some may bring partners, sponsors, guests, or contributors, and some may simply hear one thought at the right time that helps them lead differently. This matters. Thank you for watching The Living System. Thank you for being a part of our show today, and we look forward to seeing you on many shows to come. Thank you for watching The Living System. Join us next week as we continue exploring leadership, culture, and the systems that shape healthy organizations, only on Now Media Television.